Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome you to Fantasy Sports and Politics. It's me, Mr. FSP, doing what I do because I do it for you. All day, every day, along with my co-host, JT, ATM Money, a.k.a. today, Uptown Funk, because it's stanky. He just stank. But there's a lot of serious things going on in our world. We're going to touch upon them, but we know you're here for fantasy information. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to give you fantasy information. Today's broadcast is about IDPs, individual defensive players. In particular, defensive linemen. I don't know what Jerry's watching in the background, but I can hear it. I'm quite sure you can too. The point is that a lot of people that play fantasy football don't do IDPs because they're like, oh, well, that's too much. It's who cares? But I'm going to tell you, a defensive player can be the difference between you winning a week or losing a week, especially if you're like Jerry and you're not going to use kickers. I'm just telling you, it's something there for you. If you're interested in what we're going to talk about today. Now, Uptown Funk, Mr. Stinky, please say hello to the people and what you got to say.
Let's get ready to rumble and agree to disagree.
Well, we're gonna do a lot of that today. Like I told everybody last week, Aaron Donald is not a top, well, he's not a top five defensive lineman or IDP this year. He's just not going to be. In the past, he has been. Matter of fact, one periodical has him ranked. Aaron Donald. Oh, well, that's individual rankings. But some people don't have him in their top 10 at all. One person has him pretty much where I have him, but he's not going to be a big factor this year. When I go down this list, I'll tell you why. Or go up the list, I'll tell you why. NFL preseason football's here. We had Jay Cutler sign with the Dolphins. We had Sammy Watkins traded to the Rams. We had Jordan Matthews traded to Buffalo from the Eagles. And Buffalo sent two cornerbacks in return to the respective teams and a few draft picks. Interesting. So, JT, we can talk about that, then the IDPs, then the mess in Charlottesville.
Ugh. You really want to go there? I don't think we should go there, but
I said we're talking about it last.
Yeah, very last. I understand your thinking, but this is fantasy, man. Let's stick to fantasy.
We're living in a fantasy.
You got too much riding. No, we're living in a reality. No fantasy. We're living in a reality.
So, I know.
Yeah. So. only thing I can tell you about these two moves that I think is two good moves, believe it or not, for these receivers, and I'll expand on it more tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, which is a master plan, which is going to be talking about the wide receivers. And it happened to be a couple of those old wide receivers that you mentioned will be mentioned tomorrow because that's what the subject is for tomorrow, wide receivers. I think some people think it's a downgrade for Sammy Watkins. I think it's an upgrade.
I do too.
To tell you the truth, I think it's an upgrade for Sammy Watkins. And either way, he's highly motivated and looks like the Rams are going to be committed to giving a long-term contract versus the Buffalo Bills that obviously didn't pick up his fifth-year option. And if you really looked at it, you saw the handwriting on the wall that Sammy Watkins wasn't going to be with the Buffalo Bills next year, and they weren't really too keen on him, and they were trying to get some value for him before he became a free agent. So Rams were a valid trade partner, and they pulled the trigger because they need a bona fide number one wide receiver, which I think Sammy Watkins can be as long as he stays healthy, and that's been the key. I'm thinking, and I know I'll probably be regurgitating this tomorrow, because if he's had two foot surgeries that hopefully they've rectified the problem versus them pushing him through the issues that he was having for the last few seasons and having him on and off the field because of not fully addressing the problem. Well, he's had two foot surgeries in the offseason, and all signs point to he's probably healthier than he's been in a while. So we may see the real Sammy Watkins that was drafted so high a few years ago. Jordan Matthews, I think that's a good move for Jordan Matthews because he'll probably be the 1A versus Zay Jones being the 1B as the number one wide receiver. Buffalo, they're primarily really a heavy. I think they were the top rushing team in attempts last year, and nothing tells me that they're not going to do that. But if they are going to pass to somebody, they need somebody that's experienced versus only Anquan Boldin, whose his best years are behind him, and a rookie, Zay Jones, who they're high on, and so am I. But they need somebody that can play a number one, even though Jordan Matthews played last year in the slot mainly. But he's going to be moving outside, and hopefully he can fulfill that role as being an outside receiver opposite Zay Jones on the other side. So I think it's a positive move for both of them, but I think the better of the two trades for the receiver themselves, I know it's Jared Goff, but you got Mr. McVay as the head coach, who some people say, and I also say, that he could be a quarterback whisperer, maybe not on the same vein as a Arians, so to speak, but he seems to get the best out of quarterbacks and can relate because he's a young guy. And I know this is a long-winded answer, but I'm just trying to lay it out here.
You're just funky. You're just uptown funky.
Yeah, I'm just uptown funking it. And I think that Jared Goff, with a full season under his belt with a coach that can coach quarterbacks versus the type of coaching he had last year, with a change in the offense also, that he's going to have a better year once they click together, meaning Sammy Watkins and Jared Goff. Tavon Austin is not a number one wide receiver. He's more just a gadget player. So I think this is a positive move for the Rams and for Sammy Watkins.
Bottom line is this. Watkins is going to get more balls thrown his way because they're going to have to be a passing team. They'll be behind a lot. Even though McVay has a good system, I don't know if Goff is going to be able to jump right in and excel. I'll be honest with you. It all depends on how good that offensive line is at blocking for the running game.
Looks good on paper.
Yeah, looks good on paper. Looks good on paper. But if holes aren't there for Gurley to run through, play action is not going to work for Goff. When the teams know that you're going to have to pass, they're going to make you beat them. And Goff, last year, he kind of folded under pressure. Hopefully, it doesn't happen, but we'll see. Jordan Matthews.
Well, I don't know if he folded under pressure. I think the offensive line was hot garbage, man. The offensive line was hot garbage. And having a rookie quarterback with a weak offensive line, you have a strong quarterback, and Andrew Luck, he got beat up. So you have a offensive line that's not the best, that's got issues with a rookie quarterback that's in there. That is a formula for failure, and that's what happened. That's how bad they were.
I agree, and that's why I'm saying they need to fix themselves for the running game as well as for Watkins. Now, Jordan Matthews goes from being a number three option in the passing game, maybe even mm-hmm. number four option in the passing game in Philly, to their number one in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they're a run-heavy team,
mm-hmm.
but he has opportunity to be the guy in Buffalo.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And Tyrod Taylor likes to throw a deep ball.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Matthews excels at a deep ball.
Yeah. Yep.
So this is a great opportunity for him to excel, as well as the defensive backs that are leaving the two teams going to Buffalo. Obviously, the teams thought highly enough of them to want to trade for them after the first week of preseason. So they're either going to play a ton or they're going to stink up the joint and be cut. We'll see. Bottom line is, I believe these trades were good for everyone involved, much like a trade I would make with you. I would take everything I wanted from you and give you like one player, but that's neither here nor there.
I got something to say, man. It just hit me, and you're going to like say, give me a break. Anyway, I believe the children are the future.
Oh,
teach them well and let them lead the way. The only reason I say that. The only reason.
Hold on. You tried to sing.
The point
that
is.
That was not good.
The point. I know. I don't care. The point is this. Are you excited as I am? As you excited as I am, I've seen since Thursday, first-year quarterbacks thinking that all these quarterbacks that were drafted were not a good caliber of quarterbacks, and all they've done is put excitement in their fan base. Every last one of these new quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Kaiser, Mitchell Trubisky, Deshaun Watson, and I'm probably leaving somebody else out, but those are the top four that were drafted in the first round that I can think of, and maybe missing somebody. Have put excitement.
Did any of them win a game?
It's a preseason. It doesn't make a difference. The exposure and the exposure they got. It wasn't like they were in for maybe a quarter. They put these guys in different situations for an extended period of time to get an extended look at what they had when they drafted. And these guys, four guys I talked about, oh, my God. If you're a fan, if these guys keep it up, the starters are in trouble. Let me put it that way. I got to believe the starters are in trouble. And the four guys I talked about, there's really no guys set in stone, really no starting quarterback, so to speak, that's set in stone that these four quarterbacks can't replace. So, if like I said, treat them well and let them lead the way. That's exactly why I was saying that, because these guys are the children of the future in the quarterbacks, and if they keep it up, in the preseason. Now, you know that they're going to get some first-team reps from what they saw when they played twos and threes. They're going to get first-team reps to see exactly if these guys can handle going against a number one defense, guys that are going to be playing on a week-to-week basis. But from what they had, the poise that all four of these guys showed, oh, my God. You know, that's the bottom line. You got to see what kind of poise under fire these guys showed. And all four of these guys that I talked about showed that they were up to the task at up to this point. What's your thoughts, Vic?
Did any of them win their game?
It
no.
doesn't make it. It's a preseason, no, man. It's a preseason.
Did you ask
it's preseason.
My, did you ask me my thoughts or not?
But it's preseason. So come on.
I thought.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
They looked good versus third and fourth string players and some twos. When they play first stringers and sprinkle in some second stringers and they look good, then I'll roll with it. But until then, that's not going to happen. But
oh my God.
You did bring up, since you did bring up the issue of the defenses, it's time to jump right into the best part. What is so funny?
No, man. You just segued right across from that. But that's okay. I that's a good segue. Let's do it.
That's what I do. And I do it like this.
No! 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 Okay.
Carrying the ball 20 times a game requires power and valor, not niftiness. The water bug and whippet backs rarely survive the wail and howl of the banshee. Stack defenses in the pros. They must meld the buck of a billy goat with the sudden surge of a sprinter. He does not move with polish or slickness. His method is not Grand Prix, but Demolition Derby.
And the point of the matter is this, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to play with class and win with class. But these defensive players will kick your... I'll leave it right there. Now, again, these are my top 15 defensive linemen for the 2017 NFL season. Now, some leagues, they make you pick individual defensive linemen or individual defensive players. Some of these guys can play dual positions. But for the most part, they are listed as defensive linemen. Of course, that's based upon their scheme. If it's a 3-4, 4-3, or hybrids, you know, they make a difference. And there are a few people in here that aren't mentioned only because they're listed at a different position, although they normally play with their fingers down in the dirt. Number 15 on my list, and that's Kewon Short, Carolina Panthers. Now, some people might say, 15? Why do you have him that low? Why have him that low? Because, one, he's a little aged. He is probably the best defensive lineman on Carolina Panthers team. But he's going to be swapped or flanked by Julius Peppers. Now, I don't know if Carolina's going to a 3-4 version of a 4-3. I don't know what they're going to do. I know Julius Peppers is listed as a linebacker, but he's playing with fingers down in the dirt. So Kewon Short is going to have a lot of but he's not going to be that big of a defensive lineman that's going to get you maybe 4 or 5 points per game. Per game, not like 1 week and da-da-da-da-da. Because usually a defensive lineman is going to average maybe 3 points a game if they're, you know, somewhat active. Don't expect them to get you.
Well, that's above average then. 4 or 5 points, that's above average.
Yeah. I didn't say he was going to be the dude. He's going to be above average. But that's why I have him at 15. He's a guy that, you know, you can get him off the waiver wire. Trust me. You're in a 12-man league or 12-person league, he's going to be one of those guys on the waiver wire that if you need a defensive lineman, you'll be able to go grab him. If you need a defensive player and you just don't have a good linebacker out there or another good player out there, he's good for 3 or 4 points a week. Next, this. Well, what are your thoughts on Kiwan Short, JT?
I have him a little higher, you're right about that. About four or five points he averages a game. That's about what he did last year. Not a big sack guy, quite naturally, but he had a big year in 2015, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere around that. But you gave him 15, I gave him 11. He's in that range, so I can understand that. I can understand it. And before we go to the next guy, we need a moment of silence for the simple reason that someone has passed away.
True.
And that someone is the Wolverines League.
Oh.
So we should have a moment of silence. I really enjoyed that league. I won that league at least once and was very competitive in that league. We have to have a moment of silence. Okay.
Okay. All right. I want to thank you for that, JT. The Wolverines in the House League is a league I created, I want to say, almost 20 years ago.
Wow.
Literally.
Wow. Wow.
It's been a very long time.
No participation. I was absolutely amazed at that. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. We've had our share of people that stay with the league from its inception, notably me because I'm the creator of it. But we had several other owners who were there from the beginning and stuff like that. But just not enough folks wanting to return this year, maybe because they're no longer playing fantasy or whatever the case may be. And I just frankly didn't feel like recruiting very hard for that league this year because I felt that folks were going to come back. And when I didn't get responses, I just said, okay, you know what? I know my schedule is about to be really hectic, and I'm not going to have time to recruit for them, another league, and take care of my actual day job. So
it's going to get that crazy, huh?
Yeah, I'll be out of the country for the whole month of September.
Get out of here.
Yeah. So things are going to get crazy for me. But that doesn't mean that I will not I can't get any deeper than that. But that doesn't mean that fantasy is going to stop or my fantasy participation is going to stop. It just means that my attention to detail with fantasy is going to have to take a side seat for the moment. And all the fun things I like doing in fantasy, I won't be able to do.
For the first month?
For the first month, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Deja vu?
Huh?
Deja vu?
Nah, there's something different. Something different.
Oh, God. Oh, good luck, man. Wow, when's that happening? Anytime soon?
Yeah. I'm going to move on now to my number 14.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my number 14 player actually could be a little higher if he played on a good defense. If he played on a good defense, this guy would wreak havoc. And I'm talking about Cameron Jordan. I like Cameron Jordan. The problem is Cameron Jordan, he plays for the Saints. And their defense is, mark this down, JT. The New Orleans Saints defense will be the worst pass defense in the league when it comes to play action. I watched one of their scrimmages, inter-squad scrimmages, and their DBs were getting killed by Drew Brees and the other quarterbacks on play action passes. just killed. Now, what that means is the defense is not getting to the quarterback in time. Now, Jordan Cameron, he's going to get his sacks. Yes, he
Cameron
will.
Jordan. Cameron Jordan.
Yeah, excuse me. Thank you. Cameron Jordan's going to get his sacks. But I don't know how many tackles he's going to get, because the middle looks soft, and, you know, running on the edge is okay, but you keep running people laterally, you set them up for a cutback, like a count shred or something, and it's going to be all over. But Cameron Jordan, number 14, your thoughts?
I think you said it all, and I have him at that exact same spot, number 14.
Okay. Let's move on. Another guy, the difference is I think this guy, he's coming to his own. He's done very well, but he needs a helpmate, so to speak, where he is. Because I do believe he's explosive. I do believe he has the ability to play at a very high level and be considered one of the best at his position. Have any help at the other end of the line. And I'm talking about Ezekiel Ansa. I like him. Detroit just, their defensive line is not good. Haloti Ngata was great at his, you know, at some point, but he's an older guy now, and he's not making the push up the middle needed to let the defensive ends get to the quarterback or make plays in the backfield on the running backs. There's just no help for him on that defensive line, so he'll get double teamed a lot. Again, he's another guy that's going to get his sacks, but don't expect a lot of production from him on a week-to-week basis. Big name, good player, just he needs help. Your thoughts? Ezekiel Ansa, 13.
I would have to say that I have him projected lower than where you have him. I don't even have him in the top 15. Okay. He's gonna have to show me more. He had a down year last year, and he only played in 11 games. He only had 2 sacks, and from the first 2 years, in 2014 he averaged about a little over five fantasy points. 2015, he made a nice leap. He had averaged about 7 fantasy points, maybe close to 8, which is very good for a lineman. But then got hurt, couldn't stay healthy, and he only averaged a little more than three fantasy points. So will the real Ziggy Ansah please stand up? Show me what you are. Are you the guy from 2015? Maybe even 2014? Or are you the guy that's somewhere between 2015 and 2016? Show me what you are. That's why I have him below the 15.
Point. Okay. And he did play 13 games last year. So we'll see. But at number 12, a guy that, you know, I wish the Redskins would have got when he was available to us, but he dropped below the Redskins as we picked up a offensive lineman. But this kid is showing that he was worth the high pick that he landed a few years ago. And I think he's going to be even more devastating this year as he takes more of a dominant role. And that's Leonard Williamson. Now this kid, or Williams, I'm sorry, last year he played all 16 games. He had 7 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, but he had a total of 68 tackles. Now again, this is a defensive lineman, defensive tackle in a 3-4 system with 68 tackles. That's pretty daggone good for a defensive end in a 3-4 scheme. He doesn't have the mobility to drop back and do all these fancy things that other DNs can do, but he's a very viable and valuable player. So if he's going to get 68 tackles and last year, 63 total tackles the year before, he's averaging enough to be a dependable defensive player in a pinch if you need one. If you're going to play a defensive lineman because it's part of your roster settings, he's one to get because he's just getting better. Your former Jet, Leonard Williams, JT.
I have to admit, he's trending up, but he's not trending up within the top 15 in my book. I have him a little above Ziggy Ansah. He's getting there. He's not there yet.
Okay. Next on the hit list, number 11. Now, a lot of people probably haven't heard of this guy, and it's a good reason why they haven't heard of him. It's because he's playing alongside a guy that's better than him, but in some places, some periodicals, this guy is rated above his lineman teammate. I'm talking about Danielle Hunter. Danielle Hunter more than doubled his output last year. He played all 16 games, total of 56 tackles. Previous year, he had 29. But previous year, he had 6 sacks. Last year, 12 and a half. 1 forced fumble, 1 fumble recovery, 1 pass defense, and 1 touchdown. Number 99 for the Minnesota Vikings is a beneficiary of Everson Griffin. There's no doubt in my mind that he's a beneficiary of Everson Griffin and an ability that he shows. And the, as I said, some periodicals, more than one, have him ranked above Everson. I do not. Only because I think he's now going to have to deal with the two players blocking him. Because one's going to get Barr, one's going to get Everson Griffin, and two are going to get him, or two are going to get Barr. I mean, listen, he's not going to have the free-running ability to get to that quarterback like he did last year. Barr's a beast. Griffin's a beast. Hunter is a beneficiary of those two individuals, and he's making a lot of noise with it. Your thoughts, JT?
Well, on that, offenses have to pick their poison. You just named three guys. And this guy went from, in 2015, from 5 sacks to 12 and a half sacks in 2016. And he doubled it, almost damn near doubled his fantasy points per game. I think he's trending up. I think his name is going to be definitely in the mix. I got him within the top 5. So this guy is a beast right now, and it's only trending upward. It's only trending upward.
I agree. I just can't put him in my top 5. Can't put him in my top 10 just yet. He's sitting just outside of my top 10. I got to see something from him that says if he goes to a different team, he can be that guy. I don't see that right now. But this is for fantasy, and fantasy-wise, he's a very good pickup if you got to play a defensive lineman. Because, look, he's going to get you points. It just matters, like Jerry said, what offenses pick as their poison. Are they going to double-team Barr and Griffin and leave Hunter one-on-one? Or are they going to start double-teaming Hunter and, you know, making Barr cover somebody in, down the field? That's what I would do. I will make Barr cover somebody unless they have him specifically in a down lineman position. So let's move on to my top 10. Now, this guy, I liked him when he was with Miami, I thought that he was the beneficiary of Cameron Wake's abilities. Well, last year he proved that to be false. Or is he the beneficiary of JPP's abilities? And I'm talking about Olivier Vernon, who did very well for himself last year. He's one of those guys that you look up and say, all right, he went from 46, 61 to 64 total tackles, 6.5, 7.5 to 8.5 sacks. Very durable, plays all 16 games mostly, around the ball all the time, running downfield to make tackles as well. You know, he's at the top 10 for me for IDPs in a defensive lineman position, only because of what's around him, not because I think he is that great. I just think he's going to have more opportunities to do a lot more because I like the Giants' defense. I really do. I think they have one of the best defenses in the NFL, definitely the best defense in the NFC East. But because they have to play from behind, sometimes the defense is on the field a lot. And it is what it is. What are your thoughts, JT?
Man, you guys, I mean, you're giving these guys low ratings. I got this guy within my top five. I just look at the 2014 to last year. 32 tackles, 2014, 2015, 41 tackles, 2016, 45 tackles. Fantasy points per game.
No. Solo tackles or total tackles?
Solo tackles. I'll specify solo tackles, and that's what I really look at, solo tackles. Now, he's on the ball, but I'm talking about solo tackles. I'm not talking about even if you don't do that, each one of those has turned it up. So –
yes,
but I'm going with solo tackles. Fantasy points per game. 2014, 5.5. 2015, 5.8. 2016, 5.7. So he's going to give you 5.5 to 6 points a game at the defensive line position, and he's only getting better, in my opinion. He's only getting better. It's not – because he's with Dominic Sue and company. He's only getting better, and he's feeling himself once he moved to the Giants. And I project that he's going to do about the same thing. It's not even better because he's the second year in this scheme. About 45 solo tackles, about 5 to 6 fantasy points per game. That's how I see he's going to give you, and about 8 to 10 sacks. So he's in my top five. Let me put it that way. He's really a consistent player. And only barring injury, only going to get better.
I think he's trending up as well. But 4 or 5 points, yes. Top five defensive player, no, because that means you've already put Daniel Hunter and Olivia Vernon in your top five.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right. So when I get to my top five, I don't want to hear nothing because I believe the children are the future. I believe the children are the future.
Okay. Teach them well.
Well,
let them lead the way.
And I will let them lead the way because apparently you're not doing that.
Hey, okay. You're looking for fantasy points, whether it's somebody young or somebody older and established, it doesn't make a difference. You're looking for fantasy points, period.
That is correct. That is correct. And I believe the fantasy points you're going to get from my top five will outdo the fantasy points you're going to get from your top five.
Whatever. But you know, you just have to compete. You just have to try to better me. I don't know why. Maybe that's that young man mentality. Maybe that young man insecurity. I don't know.
I'm just better than you.
But I understand.
Like,
I understand. I do understand, and I walk down the hill, and you'll run down the hill.
Oh no, I'm not running down the hill. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna strut down that hill so they can see everything moving from side to side.
Yeah,
and
okay.
Say, oh my God, have mercy on me.
See, folks, just listen to how I phrased that and how the young buck phrased that. So he's got to pump himself up to make him feel that much better. I understand.
Whatever. Whatever. All right. Number nine. Now, here's where we're going to have a problem with me and a few people.
Okay.
And I'm going to explain number nine.
Okay.
Because I didn't even want to put him at number nine. But I can't deny the ability of this individual.
Okay.
Had to stand up on this. My number nine player is going to a new defense. My number nine player is no longer going to see just double teams. And when I say just double teams,
okay,
this person was beating double teams and still being a dominant force.
Monster of a man. I think this I know who you're talking about. Go ahead.
Yeah, hell of a man, monster of a man. But now he's going to have to take on three people every play and maybe even a fullback. He's going to have to take on the center and both guards because he's moving to a 3-4. And unfortunately for him, everybody else is going to benefit off of his clogging of the line. I'm talking about the one and only Aaron Donaldson. Some people have him as their number three overall defensive lineman. Quite sure Jerry has him probably in his top five.
No, you're talking about Aaron Donald?
Yes, Aaron Donald. Well, I put Donaldson, didn't I?
You did.
I meant Aaron Donald. The reason why I have him dropping this low is defensive linemen are tough at getting fantasy points to begin with. Okay? But you put him in a 3-4, he has to eat up three blocks every play and make something happen. Somebody else protect his linebackers. That's going to take away his production. Yes, he's going to get a push up the middle, but he's going to have to be three people pretty much every time he rushes the quarterback. That's the only reason why I have him down here at number nine. Otherwise, I definitely have him in my top five defensive linemen. But I'm quite sure Jerry has him in there. JT, go ahead.
You had him at number nine?
I do.
I had him at number 10. So, hello.
Oh, okay.
All right. They just like the impetuous, all-consuming young buck that thinks he knows, but he really doesn't
bull,
know.
Bull, baby. Bull. I'm the bull.
So.
I am the bull.
You're right. You are the bull.
Shut up.
Absolutely right about that.
I knew it. As soon as I said it, I knew it. Why do you have him at number 10? Why do you have him at number 10?
Well, for the simple reason what you're talking about. And I think these guys that are above him are in better situations. And I just think they're going to be better this year. Now, I could be wrong. He could move up into the top five, but right now I have him at 10. Hell of a player. That's why he's holding out. And he wants some money. He wants to get paid for his work. He's played in the last two seasons. He's played in all 16 games. Three seasons, he's only missed one game. Extremely effective. And I think he'll be the same way. He's averaging about 5.5 points a game. So fantasy points I'm talking about. And the sacks, about eight sacks, give or take, about eight sacks a year. Dominating force, but like you said, he's moving from what he was before to a 3-4. But Wade Phillips has a way of getting the best out of their premier defensive players, and Aaron Donald is one of those. So he more than likely will move up the board at the by the end of the season, but right now I have him at 10.
Well, the trend is his production has gone down slightly. 2015, he had 69 total tackles, but 2014 and 16, he had a total of 47 tackles. His sacks, 2015, were 11, and 14, 9, last year, 8. But the guy has passed defenses like a D-back. He forces fumbles. You know, the problem is, where he's going to now, that's not going to be his strong point. Just saying. All right, moving on.
But Wade Phillips had the way of getting the best, one of the best defensive players to showcase his talents, to give him opportunities to make plays.
I agree, but I don't think it's going to be so much of that this year. Not yet, anyway. So on to one of my old reliables who came back to practice yesterday and is definitely a guy that if you don't account for him, he's going to make your life miserable. I'm talking about Calais Campbell. You place him on that Jacksonville Jaguars front line and you've got money to be made. Calais, even though when Derek Dockery left and Calais had to crash down defensive tackle from DN, he still was a disruptive force because that Cardinals defense is just that good. I see a young, fierce Jaguar defense who played very well versus the New England Patriots. They made Jimmy Garoppolo, who everybody thought should have been a starting quarterback in the NFL this year, look very pedestrian. And Jimmy had a lot of his good weapons to use. I think Jacksonville is a great fit for Calais, and he's going to do extremely well this year. Another guy, anywhere from 5 to 6 points a game in that scheme. Your thoughts?
You know, I hated to see him go from Arizona because I thought he was a heck of a fit for Arizona and what they like to do on defense. But I have to admit that the excitement of a young defense really hasn't reached its potential. Was too much for him not to accept going to Jacksonville. And I think that he's going to benefit. So compared to what he did in Arizona, I think even though he's 30 years old, I think he got better football with younger talent around him to come.
Agreed. He's my number 8. Number 7, the man missing fingers, JPP. The reason why Olivier Vernon is in Jerry's top 5, which is a mistake, in my opinion. But JPP is one of these guys, every week they're game planning for him. The offense is. They're making sure that they go away from him. But he still finds a way to make plays. So, you know, Jason Pierre-Paul is a disruptive and destructive force for the Giants, who already said has a very good defense and the best in the NFC East. I have him at number 7. JT, is he in your top 5?
I have Calais 7 and Jason PP 8.
So we just flip-flop.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. Then let's just move on. Number 6. Now, actually, I was wondering about my number 6 and my number 5 because I really like both of them, and I really like the way they both play and what they bring to the table. But because my number 6 guy is already making others look really good, I decided to put him, you consider him 5B instead of 5A, if you want to do it that way. That's a Jerry thing. But Everson Griffin, he just signed a fat contract, and Everson Griffin is going to earn every dollar of that contract. I think that he is one of those players that you give him an Anthony Barr, you give him a Danielle Hunter, and you give him a backside with Smith, Xavier Rhodes, and the rest, and he's going to let his love light shine. And he is. I have him at number 6. I don't need to talk about his stats. He's going to get points for you every week at the defensive line position as an IDP. JT.
I have him at number 15. I have him down there. I don't have him within my top 10. I don't have him within my top 10. No way. When we finish going up the ladder to number 1, I'll give you my 1 to 15. But no, I don't have him at my
if we have time.
Yeah, if we have time. But right now I don't have him at 6th? No way. No way.
Wow. You're a hater. All right. Moving on. My number 5. Carlos Dunlap. Yes, Carlos Dunlap of the Cincinnati Bengals. He had an off year last year. A guy. But I feel like Carlos is going to have a great rebound year. Mainly because of where he's playing. Cincinnati. They're going to get better defensively this year. They have no choice but to do so. Last year, Carlos only had 8 sacks, but he had 15 pass defensed from a defensive lineman. So a couple of those will end up being interceptions. 3 forced fumbles, 49 total tackles. What I'm telling you is he's getting his hands up if he's not getting to the quarterback, and he's touching that ball. I expect him to turn some of those pass defense into interceptions and possible touchdowns. Carlos Dunlap, my number 5. I'd imagine you don't even have him in your top 15 either, but let's hear from JT.
Well, you're wrong about that because I have him listed as number 9 on my list. I do like Carlos Dunlap. He's not number, 5 or 6 for me. He's not in the top 5, but he's in the top 10. Nice point total. He's going to give you about 6.5 a game in points, probably roughly around 9 to 10 sacks a year. And he had a banner year in pass defense, a banner year, because he doesn't average that if you look at the previous 2 years. So he had a banner year getting his hands up. I expect him to come down. I don't even expect him to do what he did last year in pass defense. So, but he's a top 10 player, not top 5 to me.
Okay. We got about 5.5 minutes left of live there. So let's get to my number 4. Now, Jay already said he had 2 people in his top 5 that I have in my top 15. But Jadeveon Clowney, I have at number 4. Last year, he broke out.
Say that again.
I knew you were going there.
Really?
I knew you were going to say that.
Oh, my God. I'm going to do a Fred Sanford here. My heart. Oh, my God. My heart. Elizabeth. Oh, my God. Really?
Oh, shut it up.
Okay. I'm sorry, man. Wow. I'm impressed. Go ahead, man. I'm sorry. Wow.
At any rate, last year he had a banner season without J.J. Watt. And that's because he played mainly at J.J.'s position. So that scheme allowed him to do great things. I believe with Mike Vrabel taking over as defensive coordinator, he's just going to get better with J.J. back. Because I think teams saw that if JJ and Jadeveon were on the same side, they ran the other way. And it's fine because they knew they could run over Mr. Merciless. I want to say Whitley, but I don't know.
Whitney Merciless.
Okay, Whitney Merciless. Thank you. They saw that they could run over him and away from the two. I think Mike Vrabel is going to put them on opposite sides this year and allow havoc to be run all over the place with them both. I look for him to repeat his numbers from last year with J.J. Watt in the lineup. Jadeveon Clowney, my number four defensive lineman,
wow,
who actually is listed as a linebacker.
Yes, he is. That's why I was really surprised about that.
But he's listed as a defensive lineman as well. Go ahead. Your thoughts real quick.
Well, I mean, I like to, you know how I feel about him. I shouldn't even have to explain myself. I think the ceiling for him is hasn't even been reached yet. There's a ton of upside for my man Jadeveon. I think the big things to be for that Houston defense with the return of J.J. Watt. So I'm looking forward to it. And we'll just have to see how it plays out. But as long as he stays healthy, he's going to be one of the premier defensive linemen / linebackers, in my opinion. I don't have him in my top 15. I don't even have him on my linemen, but that's okay.
Wow. He's listed as a defensive lineman and linebacker. Told you that. But my next guy, he better be in your top two or your top three, because you already said two of your top five, so he has to be in your top three. Joey Bosa. This kid, for all of the issues he had coming into the league, is a terror. And I think it's just going to get better for him out there in L.A. playing for those Chargers. This guy has a motor like nobody's business. You know, there were little hamstring problems, stuff like that. A full off season and learning this scheme a little more, he's going to explode. He's just going to explode. Joey Bosa, numbers speak for themselves. Your thoughts? I have him at number three.
I have him in my top two. How about that? And to tell you the truth, I was extremely down on Joey Bosa coming ever since he signed. I didn't think he was going to be all that in a bag of peanuts. Lo and behold, he surprised me. And as the year went on, he got that much better. You don't know where this kid's going to go from where he went from last year. He's got a ton of upside. And like you said, being in training camp from start to finish and starting the season rather than coming when the season is already in progress. He had, 13 sacks last year, 10 sacks, whatever it was. Watch out, opposing offenses. That's all I can say.
20 seconds left alive there. Catch my top two in overtime, so come back and listen to us in the archives. And that lets us also know that Jerry has J.J. Watt at number three. He has Joey Bosa at number two. Just deductive reasoning. I'm Sherlock Holmes. He's my Watson. Thanks for listening. Now, am I correct in saying that, JT?
No, you happen to be Watson, and I'm Sherlock Holmes, because you were wrong again. Wrong again,
oh,
Watson.
Oh,
wrong
really?
Again, Watson.
Really?
Yes.
I'm Sherlock. Don't you ever forget it.
Yeah, wrong again,
I'm
Watson.
I'm the heroine.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So my number two guy would be J.J. Watt, because J.J. on a mission, and his mission won't stop until he reaches the very, very top. He's not going to be number one this year again. He's not. But he's going to have a lot of shine on him because of Jadeveon Clowney's emergence. J.J. Watt, my number two. Your thoughts?
Well, you know where he is at. Come on. I got him uno, number uno. So, numero uno.
So, you got Khalil Mack at number three? You got Khalil Mack number three. Really?
Khalil Mack is a linebacker, if I'm not mistaken.
No, he's a defensive lineman.
Well, I got him listed as just a linebacker. So, no, I have J.J. Watt as number one. We can go from there. I'll give you my top 15 after you finish with your quite naturally. You already gave it at Khalil Mack's number one and J.J. Watt's number two. Okay? Okay.
Yeah, that's for me. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Dude. But who are your top 15 real quick, and then we'll get out of here.
Starting from 15, Everson Griffin, Cameron Jordan, Cliff Averill, Fletcher Cox, Kawan Short. Top 10, Aaron Donald, Carlos Dunlap, JPP, Calais Campbell, Mohammed Wilkerson, Melvin Ingram, Olivier Vernon, and Daniel Hunter, Joey Bosa number two, and J.J. Watt number one.
Ingram's an inside linebacker. So how'd you get him at defensive line? Ingram's
an
inside linebacker.
He's a lineman.
Ingram is an inside linebacker.
Well,
you're talking about for San Diego, right?
Yeah.
He's a middle linebacker, inside linebacker, dude. He's not a defensive lineman.
He's a lineman.
Okay. Smoking that good stuff.
Ganja, man, ganja. Yeah, man.
Hey, man. Hey, man. All right, listen, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I want to thank everybody for the show, chiming in, and JT giving us what he gave us. And yes, I wanted to talk about Charlottesville, but we kept it fantasy, which is what we are here for. Be quiet. Yeah. I'll let you talk about it tomorrow because I know you will. But next week, I plan to go up a level to the linebackers.
Okay.
And give you my top 15 linebackers. I know JT did quarterbacks last week. He's doing wide receivers this week.
Yes, sir.
And I'm quite sure his running backs are going to change immensely now that Zeke is gone for 6 weeks. But we'll see. We shall see.
Yeah, that's if you're counting tomorrow, that's 3 weeks from now. That's wide receivers tomorrow, tight ends, which would be the on the 20th, and then on the 27th would be the running backs. And we'd have a better shakeout of some of these young running backs where they're going to be standing on a depth chart. And some sleepers, there's always going to be some sleepers there, some guys that you don't expect but are going to shine when you least expect it, but not for me, and hopefully not for you if you listen to what I have to say.
All right. And the 26th, we're doing a live draft. Jerry's probably going to be talking. He's probably going to be talking about, you know, hey, I wouldn't have got him there, but we'll find out tomorrow where I got him.
I'm going to be talking a lot of smack this year. I feel absolutely pumped up. We got now I'm commissioner in three leagues.
Viagra, y'all.
I got three leagues that I'm the commissioner of, and you are in one of them, I think one of them. Yeah, one at least one of them. And just another opportunity to beat down my esteemed colleague Victor, but that's okay. It's an annual thing.
You're not going to beat me. No, it is not. It is not. Don't let him fool y'all.
It's an annual thing.
Bob Marley said, "Don't let him fool ya."
It's an annual thing. You know what I'm talking about. It's an annual thing. So.
Whatever, Vader.
I'm all right, and the one league that you're in, your draft position is set, so you can mock draft all you want, Victor.
What draft position am I? Let everybody know what draft position I got.
Hold on,
because I don't know. Tell them.
Oh, you don't know? Hold on. This is the 2-drink limit.
I didn't look.
Okay, hold on. I'm gonna get it for you. Hold on a minute. Bear with me for a minute.
Don't let them fool you.
And I'll get it for you. Let me do this. You are in this 2-drink limit league. Come on, bring it up. Here we are. Double shot to go. That's it. You are, and I randomize this, so you happen to be number 3.
Oh, I already know who I'm getting. I know who I'm getting.
Now, you're funny. You are a funny guy. I was just waiting. I was just waiting for you to complain about, oh, man, it's a 10-team league and I'm number 10? Thanks a lot, man. You probably set that up.
Oh, I would have took number 10. I would, you know what? I would take 10 all day.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not 1, I'll take 10. But okay. Number 3, I'll take. Because are you ahead of me?
No. No, I'm not. I have to be number 9.
Oh, that's a setup. But I
can't. See. I can't win one way or the other. Come on. I can't win one way or the other. Huh?
Unless he's smack dab in the middle, unless Jerry is smack dab in the middle of the draft, I believe he set it up. But that's okay. But
Let me tell you, because you, as the commissioner, ESPN, you should know this. If you go into the settings at the draft settings, you can manually pick the draft, okay? But it also gives you an option to randomize it. So the more you every time you click it, quite naturally the draft positions change. And this is how I did it. It's not scientific. I told my wife to pick a number, any number, pick a number, and I would click that button, and wherever it landed on is wherever the draft picks would be. So if she picked 7, I clicked it 7 times, and this is what we got.
Okay. Listen. Just know I'm going to kick some ass and take some names cuz I already know who I'm getting number 3.
Okay.
That's all.
You don't know that because this is a brand new league.
Listen,
and you don't know how people pick. And I'm telling you right now.
Your settings.
And I'll tell you right now, the two people that are in front of you, one has won a championship in another league. And the other one is a very good drafter.
And I have it?
I understand what you're saying, but what I'm saying is you don't have two novices that don't know what's going on ahead of you. That's what I'm saying.
That's fine.
That's what I'm saying.
One's going to get David Johnson. One's going to get Le'Veon Bell. And then I'm going to get who I want.
Okay. No problem.
I'm not going to say who it is.
But it might be
Shady.
I understand what you're saying, but what I'm saying is you don't know that. You don't know that. You know, you're getting a draft and you'd be watching who's pick because it's an online draft. You think, oh, he took my pick. I've heard that one before.
Oh, no. If I'm number 3, listen, if I'm number 3, mm-hmm. I can get any one of the 3 top players in fantasy and I'll be content. I'm not going to be worried about somebody taking my pick because I'll have an outstanding pick.
Well, let me put it this way.
Cool.
Any time somebody picks it in front of you, it's not your pick, it's their pick. You can't say someone took your pick. You can't say somebody took your pick when it wasn't your pick in the first place. I keep telling you that.
It was, damn it. Are you going to be whatever. Are you draft pick trading or no?
No. Not in that league, no.
Cool.
No.
So I'm stuck at number 3. So I'm stuck at number 3. I'm good with that. You know what? I might just get the gunslinger himself.
You do what you do. You do what you do. when you do it,
you know I win.
Whatever way you do it.
Because I win. I win,
yeah, okay.
You bums.
Okay.
I win. Anyway, JT. All right, we're going to get out of here. I got to hit the, you going to hit the music or am I hitting the music? Who's hitting the music?
You hitting the music, man. I'm not in there. You are.
All right, because you funky, uptown funk stink. Go take a bath.
Well, wait a minute.
Before you do that,
I got to really appreciate you, man. I really appreciate it. I'm impressed. I'm highly impressed this week. Your mic.
What are you talking about?
Your mic has been consistent all show. What? You haven't cut out once. You have been on point with your mic, and I don't know who helped you or what happened, but I'm impressed.
No,
I'm impressed.
No one helped me. No one helped me. It's my mic. I just got a better signal today.
Okay. Whatever. But at least I can hear you without choppy words. Well, at least I can hear you, plain and simple. I can hear you. So,
you know what?
I'm
fix
impressed.
Your hearing aids. Fix your hearing aids.
I can't hear you.
I love you anyway, brother. Turn your hearing aids up. I'm about to take my boys to go see Annabelle, and we're going to have some fun to do some dad-son stuff because they start football next week. They got their equipment, and we're going to start some training.
Oh boy.
I'm going to miss some of their games. It's going to hurt me. But,
yeah, I know.
Yeah. Kansas boys meet my world-renowned boys. Here we come.
Okay,
ladies
we'll see.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, thank you for listening to Fantasy Sports and Politics Saturday edition. Catch JT tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, where he's going to break down his top 15, I take it, receivers. And,
top 25.
Come back next week, and we'll do – top 25 receivers. Come back next week, and we're going to be talking about your linebackers, top 15. For me and for JT, you've been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You want to talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports.